I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Guilty on all counts, the jury in the trial of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman returned their verdict today. He was accused of running the violent Sinaloa cartel, a gang that smuggled tons of drugs into the United States for years.
Well, I think it's a very good day. I think it's a good day for the end of impunity, the rule of law. It took a long time to get here.
That's reaction from author Sam Quiñones to the verdict. He's followed the illicit drug business for a long time. We'll hear more from him in a moment. For 11 weeks, El Chapo's trial served up jaw-dropping testimony about murders, bribes, corruption. One of Guzman's close aides accused former Mexican president Enrique Peña Nieto of taking a $100 million bribe from Guzman. Peña Nieto denies the claim. The prosecution rested on day 35 of the trial. The defense rested after a single witness testified for a half hour. The jury deliberated for 6 days, long enough that people who thought a guilty verdict should be a slam dunk started to wonder, could Mexico's most notorious drug lord be acquitted? But no, on all 10 counts, El Chapo is guilty. He could get life in prison. We'll find out at the end of June when he's sentenced. But does it make any impact on the illegal drug trade between the U.S. and Mexico? Guadalupe Correa Cabrera is a professor at George Mason University and an expert on international organized crime.
The El Chapo trial is a big blow. His leadership was important, of course, and this could lead to more factions and more fragmentation within the Sinaloa cartel. But in reality, these organizations and the leadership are not subject to just one man. So it really doesn't make a difference with regards to drug trafficking in Mexico.
Who's in charge of the Sinaloa cartel now, and what is their background?
Recently, the Sinaloa cartel leadership has been divided between El Mayo Zambada and sons of El Chapo Guzman. But it doesn't really matter who is leading the organization. The organization is going to be transforming itself depending on the opportunities. Of course, a leader means something. There are some initial violence. Another cartel has controlled some areas that at some point were controlled by the Sinaloa cartel. But in reality, drugs are smuggled by one group or the other one. That doesn't change. It's like a business. If you understand these organizations as business models without focus on the head of these groups, you will understand better what's going on. Because there's always a market. There's always demand. And we are focusing on the supply side, on the narco part, without understanding well how the markets operate.
So you're saying it's important that officials have removed a major player from the criminal enterprise, but you see these guilty verdicts on El Chapo Guzman as mostly symbolic?
Yeah, it's symbolic because probably this is the end of the times of the narco strategy. It's all about the figure. It's all about the spectacle. Recently, we're observing more sophisticated criminal structures where everybody specializes in one of the segments of the supply chain of drug trafficking from Mexico to the United States. The markets have become much more specialized. We now have fentanyl coming from China, and we have different types of drugs that are transported through the same routes. So we might be talking about more sophisticated enterprises that involve leadership at a different level, which is probably why this is just symbolic. This is the end of an era of drug trafficking in a traditional form.
Guadalupe Correa Cabrera is an expert on international organized crime. She's also a professor at George Mason University and a Wilson Center fellow. Stopping the flow of illegal drugs has been one of President Trump's main arguments for a wall on the southern border. It looks like he might get 55 miles of a new wall. That's part of the agreement that congressional Republicans and Democrats have reached. Trump is reluctantly signaling that he'll sign it, probably. Walls, though, can they really make a difference in stopping the drug trade? And just how bad is the drug problem on the border? Sam Quiñones is the author of Dreamland, the true tale of America's opiate epidemic.
The southern border is the central channel through which virtually all of our drugs come nowadays, except for the fentanyl that comes from China in the mail and stuff that's made locally in the United States. I would say, you know, most of the drugs come through or from Mexico, but these drugs come through walls. They come through the border entries in Nogales and Juarez and in Tijuana. And through walls, through heavily guarded with the drug dogs and officers and walls themselves, all of that. I believe that a wall, and I'm not sure really what the idea is, but a wall, the length of our border with Mexico is a horrible distraction. It distracts us from the way we really need to fight drug trafficking in an era of heroin and now of fentanyl, is through a deep attention to alliances, primarily with Mexico, forcing Mexico to man up in a sense, aware of our own participation in all this. And it also a wall that weds us to this idea that there's a one solution and we can all go it alone. It's an international problem. We need alliances, and a wall will not solve that.
Have you seen any studies on the impact of different anti-narcotics measures at the border, like a wall? Like, what does that actually do?
Look, the border crossings areas all have walls. In those areas, the price of crossing illegally as an illegal immigrant is now in the thousands of dollars. So the walls have done an amazing job of staunching illegal immigrant flows. What they have not done is done anything about the drug situation. And the drugs, meanwhile, as prices for crossing illegally have gone up, the prices for drugs have gone way down. We're now some of the cheapest heroin prices we've ever seen in our history. And that's some of the most potent heroin we've ever seen. Methamphetamine from Mexico is now being given away in many states that I've traveled to as a way of priming demand for meth among opiate users. So the prices for drugs are so low. They're historically low right now. And just as the prices for illegal crossing are stratospheric. And I think that says something about what walls are good for. They are good for staunching the flow of people. They fail miserably when it comes to staunching the flow of drugs.
Sam Quinones, just to bring it back to El Chapo and the guilty verdicts today, do you think that's going to have any short or long-term effects on drugs coming into this country?
He was a major player, and it may have an effect on the functioning of the Sinaloa cartel because he was a major factor in that. But the thing is about drug trafficking in Mexico now, it's been the case for several years, is that it's been fragmenting daily almost. You read reports, you ask some of these cartels, have no idea who they are, where they're coming from. They come out of nowhere, they leave. I do, however, continue to believe that going after guys like this, taking them down, is a way of saying you are not immune from the law, and that allowing guys like Chapo to become part of the Forbes list of billionaires in the world is an outrage, and it cannot be allowed to stand. And so I think that is the benefit of it. What effect it has on the daily flow of drugs, I guess we're going to find out. It probably won't have a whole lot.
Sam Quinones, the author of Dreamland, The True Tale of America's Opiate Epidemic, speaking with us from Los Angeles. Thanks very much, Sam.
My pleasure, Marco.